Dan, we live? Okay, thank you. Guys, let's have a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God that we have tonight in front of us. And John, thank you for Mary and Martha. And thank you for the sacrifice you made for us that begins with your triumphant entry into Jerusalem. We ask you to be with all the men tonight. Help us share and take care of one another and protect those that are not here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to start out. Is that better? Can't hear it? King Solomon was a Muslim, and he took over, and he said, okay, well, I understand that from the writings that Jesus is going to come through the east gate. When he comes back, the Messiah is going to come that way. So he figured he would wall it in. And not only that, he said, the Jewish are afraid to be defiled for a graveyard, so we'll stick a graveyard in front of it. And so these were pictures I took on the Jerusalem tour when I was there with Lon, but I thought that was an interesting story I would share with you tonight, that he thinks these walls are going to save our Savior, the creator of the world. Just a little humor on my side, I think. All right, next slide, please. So Martha loved through her service. That was her gift. You know, the Greek word used here is deaconos. Those of you of a Catholic faith in the room will know that they have deacons in the Catholic Church. And these are people who help out, and it's roughly translated servant. The Webster Dictionary defines servant as a person who performs duties for others, especially a person employed in a house or domestic duties or a personal assistant. So, the first time I heard this God first, other second, and I'm third is when my kids went to a summer camp called Summer's Best 2 Weeks, and it's one of the themes they have there. If you haven't heard about it, it's a great summer camp up by Pittsburgh on a lake. The kids went every year. It's a great Christian camp. They have a war between an athletic competition, not really a war, but between the Romans and the Galatians. For years and years it's been going on, and it's one of those things, once you're a Roman, you're always a Roman. Once you're a Galatian, you're always a Galatian. And we got a lot of guys shaking their heads. Their kids are here, so for some of you with younger kids and you're coming up, check out sb2w.com. It's a great thing. But anyways, I think Martha had this down a little bit, you know, pretty good. God first, others second, and she always put herself third. And I think this was her gift. And John clears it up where earlier she was a little bit maligned for serving too much. But I think what Jesus is telling us is that in that time that Mary had a better way. If you get closer to Christ by meditating on his word and spending time with him, you'll learn more about him. And I think the point is, don't get too caught up in service, because at that time she was all caught up in service and maybe missing the truth that was in the word. So, you know, it's not all about acts. It's about what's in the heart. So if you want to dive into, if you want to learn about servants, John MacArthur has a great book out, and it's called Servants, so you can't miss it. And the first 100 pages of the book sets up what a servant was in ancient times. And the last 50 pages are totally spectacular, where they talk about a servant lifehood and what it means to just almost like as Mary threw herself at the foot, throw yourself at the foot of Christ as his servant. Some of the stuff we're going to be talking about tonight. One of the scripture verses that came to mind was Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. And the Greek word here for flesh is a sinful state of human beings, in opposition to the spirit. And so he's told us to love each other humbly. Come on, next slide, first. So my question to you tonight is, you know, like, who do you love? But also, are you a servant for Christ? There's lots of examples of servants for Christ. I mean, is it simple? A simple, easiest thing you could do is hold the door for somebody, right? That's a servant. You're letting them go first. To serving as an usher in one of your churches or parishes or where you meet is another great example. But it's also being an example to others in your workplace as well. You know, are you a servant for Christ? The community Bible study that we're in, that's a great servants model, right? I mean, you have your core group leaders who you care for one another and they shepherd you. and therefore you go home and shepherd your family or people at work. And so this great model of servitude and shepherding is part of what we're called to do. And so I ask you tonight, you know, are you a servant for Christ? And this is a question you should, you know, review with yourself. Can we have the next slide, please? So, you know, so who do you love? So you love who you serve. And this was a great thing. Sandy Link suggested I get this graphic. But these are tee times you don't want to miss, right? I think some of your golfers out there will realize that. And in my life, I could share with you that, you know, that some of my greatest memories are, you know, when I did things like this on the screen, you know, as a set of going off. And it's serving your family and serving your children. Right now, I mean, today, I was had a busy day at work, but my daughter, who's at Northwestern, called, and the whole world can stop while I Skype with her for 20 minutes at work, regardless of what I have to do. And I think some of that started back when she was in grade school or preschool, and I used to have a day called Donuts with Dad. And you'd go to the school, and you would do a little project, craft, painting, or building something, and they'd take your picture, and of course they had donuts and soda or donuts and some kind of coffee for everybody, but it was really neat. And then the other thing that I could tell you, memory I have from my son's side is, when my son, when he graduated from high school, as parents, we each wrote him a letter as he left. And then the school had them write us a letter, and of course they don't send it to you until they're off at college for the first couple of weeks. And when my son was young, I traveled extensively. I mean, just 2-3 times a week trips, a lot of trips. But I happened to get off that bandwagon when he's about 13. And in his letter he wrote to me, and I'll never forget it, it said, "I'm so glad I got to know you when I was 13 years old." You know, and it hurt me. But it's a call to the rest of us to be cognizant of that. And we all know that you all got to make a living. And, you know, I had to too. I mean, and you got to go some when you got to go. But it's so important to remember your family, your wife, and your children back at home. So next slide, please. So, you know, so who are you serving? Is it the golf game? What else is it? Is it sports? I mean, are you a big Redskins fan? What comes first? And I think when you go back and evaluate your lives and you understand what comes first, you'll understand where your priorities are. And so I just say tonight, in the next little bits, you know, figure out what your priorities are, write them down, or figure out what you did for the last week and what came first. And maybe you might need to rejuggle them, but, you know, Jesus tells us through John, God tells us, "Whoever serves me must follow me where I am. My servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." And so my question for this point is, will the Father honor you? Next slide, please. So this is a picture of a spikenard, the flowering plant that the root that Mary used to, that was used to create the perfume that Mary broke. But let's set the scene before we talk about Mary. So it's ancient times. You know, I don't think they had it all bad. So the men laid down around a U-shaped table, and the women stayed on the outside and then served them when they wanna. Not a bad deal to me, right? Sounds good, a guy yelled out. That's funny. But anyways, I think, you know, it was a tradition of community at dinner time, and we kind of lose that ourselves today because they're not running, you know, people didn't have electricity, right? They weren't running off for volleyball, soccer, basketball, hockey, practice. There wasn't homework to do. They just had time to get to know one another. And so it's in this family setting that the day is done where, you know, we have Mary, you know, in her action. Now, I think it's important that, you know, that lunch and breakfast mealtime is important. I encourage, you know, my sales staff and my employees to do that a lot together. I think I actually give my salesmen budgets to spend time to have, like, not big meals. It's not Morton meals. It's It's meals at Subway, you know, to get to know people and stuff, not to spend a whole mile in an afternoon, but it's a great way to get to know people over a meal. And as I was working, even when I worked long hours when I was in town, even if I was going to work all night, I always stopped and came home for dinner from 7 to 8 and went back. And I'm sure a bunch of you guys do the same thing because it's just a great practice to start that tradition in your families. Anyways, back to Mary. So the symbol of her love is a perfume she poured out on our Savior. It's a spikenard. It's a flowering plant. It goes in the Himalayas of Nepal and China and India. The plant grows about a meter tall. It has pink and bell-shaped flowers, as you can see. It's found about an altitude of about anywhere between 9,000 and 15,000 feet. And, of course, the underground stems are crushed for oil. The nard oil is used as a perfume. It's intense. They also thought it to be a sedative in medicine in olden time and could cure insomnia, birth defects, and other minor ailments. So think about the economic principle of this thing. So you're in old times. There's no planes to fly to India. Somebody had to walk virtually because not very many horses were around, but go up 9,000 feet, find this, create the perfume, buy it, sell it, and carry it back to the Middle East. So this is a very, very valuable thing. And, you know, in the video tonight, we were told that this was something that was handed down from the grandmother to the mother to Mary, and so it being very valuable. So when I was doing this, and you all know I like MacArthur, so I'm going to share with you a MacArthur from one of his speeches. He wrote this speech in 1971, his lecture, and it's called The Climax of Love from March 7th, 1971. I guess it proves that God's word is timeless, right? In this lecture, he's describing Mary. Mary's heart, I imagine, was just overflowing with love, as she probably couldn't keep her eyes off Jesus. She was just loving him so much and so full of love for Christ and doing all his service. And I imagine that her heart began to beat so loudly that she thought everybody in the room must hear it beating. Just love, just swelling up until it was going to burst. She felt like she was going to shatter, and she went into this place, wherever it was. She grabbed the alabaster box or jar, came out. She just poured that stuff all over him. It was like a bursting of her love. It was not a calculated thing, not at all. It was total, boundless love. And Matthew and Mark tell us she poured it on his head and it ran down his back, across his shoulders, and it came down to where there's enough left, she poured it on his feet. Now she didn't calculate it at all. She didn't measure it out. She didn't know what to do. She loved him so much that she didn't ask him anything. Her love was bursting within her. She ran and grabbed the most precious commodity she had and poured it on him. She never calculated that. I mean, it was just love. It was boundless love expressing itself. It just ran all down him. Unbelievable scene. You know, this perfume was being very strong, so the smell permeated the whole room. And, you know, it's kind of like acts today. When we do acts of love, all around us, people are infected by them, right? Everybody that sees it, everybody that experiences it. And, you know, what was too good for, what was not good enough for her, what was too good for her was not good enough for Jesus. We see that, you know, to give our Lord something that costs us is important. I mean, and so when we think about this, next time when we go to donate or do something, or we want to show our love for Christ, I think this is a great, great example. Go to the next slide, please. So it was that total abandonment for the love of Christ. You know, too good for her, but not good enough for Jesus. It closely parallels the servitude because she was serving our Lord. And when I was writing this out, you know, I was thinking about, I called it a great example. Oh, it's more than a great example. It's a yardstick. It's something we should measure ourselves by when we're pouring out our love for our Savior. This is what we have to compare it to, his word and Mary's actions. And, you know, I personally, you know, when I compare myself to Mary and her love, throwing all our pride beside, it humbles me because, as a man, we seldom love like that, right? We tend to be reserved and stuff. And so I think it's a great example. Now, it's not about like stopping what you're doing now and, going home tonight and telling your wife, all right, we're out of here. We're going to join the ministry and I'm going to run off and do that and this, and we're going to just love Christ. We're called to love Christ in our daily jobs and what we do and the people around us. That's what we're called to do. We're called to love the people at work, even the ones that annoy us. We're called to be examples of his love and service. And I think that it's so important for us to think about, when we love people, this total abandonment that Mary had, and use that as the yardstick, as the, here's the high water mark, and we get over that. One of the things I got to share with you is, in leaders tonight, Burton, where's Burton? Where are you? There he is. Burton had a great comment. He said, what's your alabaster jar? Something you're saving that you haven't used yet, that needs to be broken so you can break it and receive Christ more fully. Just what a wonderful thought, and thank you for that, because one of the best things is to sit in leaders' meeting and listen to some of this stuff, so I wanted to share that with you tonight. So the point is here, you can do this in your life. You can minister, and you can work, and you can love. And my point is that we should strive to love Jesus more fully and all the people around us. Next slide, please. So Jesus wept. So in Luke 19, we're told, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. Christ loved us so much that he was moved to tears over our sinful nature. He knew that despite his sacrifice that was coming in less than a week, we were going to reject him. Mercy Me has this song about when they talk about when you see Christ, are you going to dance with joy or fall at his feet? I know what I'm doing. I thought about that when I heard that song. I know many of you might have done the same thing. I'm falling, baby. I'm not much of a dancer, not very good at it anyways. And so I'm falling at his feet. Unlike any of the, there's two ladies in the Bible that use their hair to wipe Jesus' feet, two different Marys. I don't have any, so I can't do that. I think I'm just going to hang on for dear life, because that's a principle that they taught us in football. When you got somebody out and you were tackling them and you just had one leg, you just held on for dear life until the rest of the people come. So I figure that my football training will take over at that time. So next slide, please. So who do you love? I'm back to this concept and coming down the home stretch here for you tonight. This gives you the I am third again. God first, other second, I am third, gives you God's priorities on our life and our love. What you love is where you spend your time. We already talked about. We always put our families on the top of the list. And I think inside your families, the one that goes on top of the list, and lots of times we're prone to put our children first, I think we need to put, our wives first. And they do come in front of the children, even though we love our children very much. One of the things that breaks my heart a lot is when I hear about divorce in families. People have been married 20, 25 years, and it breaks up. And this is the person this person loved. So, they broke apart, and people are loving something else. We encountered a flashpoint in our marriage because we approached empty nest this past fall. So kids were gone. My wife was scared having to live with me alone in the house, right? Yeah. You met her. You know, McGurdy. You know. But I think that there's some formulas that we can learn from our lesson tonight on how we approach these things with our loved ones. First of all, be aware of the situation, that it's scary. And so one of the things that I was also scared too, I didn't want to spend our life just going to movies and dinner on weekend. I wanted to do more. And so, you know, we started dance lessons, which is turned out to be a great blessing. We have a lot of fun. We go to dance lesson and then on Friday nights, and then we go out to have a burger and a beer with a bunch of people in the class. We started bike riding together again, you know, head out to Leesburg, get a lunch, come back. This is really great. This is a true blessing from God. We're even taking concealed firearms class here in a month. We signed up. She wants to go shooting with me. That's wonderful, man, you know. But these are all actions. Somebody said going to turn it on me. I heard that. But what were the other things that have helped in this process? And one is the Word of God. You know, we've been in a couples Bible study on Sunday nights for got to be over a decade. And our kids have grown up through the same stages with that same group of people. And a couple of things that I heard that I've been trying to apply that I want to apply with you. So we've been on this series this past year, got away from the Gospels a little bit and strengthening our marriage. And one of the things I heard from the Blackabees, there's two older couples that traveled to the United States and put on seminars about how to improve your marriage, and we're listening through their tapes. And what they said to us is, when you're talking to your spouse, picture Jesus standing right behind her, or she should picture Jesus standing behind you. It's really changed, man. It's humbled me. I got to tell you something. Try it. Because now when it's take the trash out or, oh, the dogs need to go out and it's snowing and wet and windy and it's 10 o'clock at night and I'm watching in the middle of a basketball game and there's 4 minutes left, you know, or, in the middle of on the way home, oh, could you stop and pick this up? I hear these things differently now. And I'm processing differently. And so I'm going to suggest that you try that as well. The list can go on and on, but insert the thing that would irritate you most and then picture it happening with Jesus standing behind your wife. It will bring a whole new revelation to you. So the other thing, and this one I heard from Andy Stanley, and this one's really tough to do as well. He says, don't interrupt her while she's telling a story. So it's just something that you both did together. Right, you both went someplace and something happened, and you're the next day and she's sharing the story with somebody, and maybe the facts aren't exactly the way you remembered them, right? Or they always got distorted some way. I hear some chuckles. This happens. This is a tough one. But try and be quiet. I still haven't mastered this one. I'll admit I can't get this one because when a fact's off, I just got to hang on to the table because I want to blurt out the answer. No, it wasn't. We were doing 30 and it was on this street, not that street, but whatever. I think you guys get the idea. You can try it. So the last things that I want to share with you is prayer, because I asked God for help in the process. I said, God, show us a way to, learn, you work through this adjustment. We always love one another, but to love each other more fully. And so you can pray to God and you can ask God for peace in the process. And he delivered. I don't know what we did, but I can remember coming home after an afternoon, and I'm sure it wasn't the best, the most exciting thing in the world. Maybe I had to go to DSW warehouse or something and wait while something happened. But the bottom line was, he just gave me an unbelievable peace about it. I prayed for peace and he delivered peace. And so that was really important. So my point is here tonight is really you can apply this situation with Mary and Martha to your lives. And as you love Christ and as you love others and as you love your family, these are just some examples I wanted to share with you that we can love like that and Christ will bless us for it. Can I get the last screen, please? So as a summary, I'd just like to read for you 1 Corinthians 1:4 through 9. I've always thanked my God for you because of his grace given to you in Christ Jesus. For him you have been enriched in every way with all kinds of speech and all kinds of knowledge. God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await for our Lord Jesus to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And as a summary, what that means to me is we all have what it takes right now to serve like Martha and to love like Mary. And it's okay to weep like Jesus as well, but we all have it. This tells us it's already inside of us. We just have to unlock it. So pray with me, gentlemen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God tonight. We thank you for it, and we ask you to help us enrich our lives with this. Take a few lessons back home with us that we can love and serve not only our family, but all the others around us faithfully, and be great examples of you in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.